The title of my message is Friending God. Friending God. Now, the reason I'm not real wild about it, because I think too many times, like with God, we try to bring God down to our level so we can understand him, and then we take away some of the attributes of who God really is. And so, like, we all got little friends on Facebook, and, like, somebody's, like, requests you to be their friend, and you're like, oh, they like me. They want me to be their friend. I'm so happy. And you personally, but we're friends. And it's just like, zap, you're a friend, you know, and like, whether you're a friend or not, you're a friend, you know. And then sometimes if it's someone you don't like, right, it's like, we're going to block them. We don't want them on our Facebook site. We're going to block them. They're ugly. I mean, like, verbally ugly. I didn't mean physically. I mean verbally. And stirred up. We got a lot of pot stewards. They're stirring up the pot. Lately, everybody wants to stir the pot, right? Yes. Gracious, there's a lot of pot stirrers out there. So on Facebook, they want it to be an authentic person on Facebook. So they have little things that they little red flags that come up. So if your name is Batman, they won't let you be a Facebook person because they want real people or Superman. Now, I know they have Superman Facebook sites, but it's like for actual Superman. It's not for people that are named Superman. So, they got a lot of rules. It's like, there was a lady named Becky Super. She didn't get there. And then I like this one, Best Pancake. Keith Kisser, Jack Money. Here's a good one, Mary Stalker. I would change my name. But they want authentic people, so they don't want you if you're Yoda or Beta or Duck or whatever. So I want to talk to you about the names of God. And in 700 years, the prophet Isaiah. If you want to have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus, you think about that. It's hard for us in America to comprehend 700 years. Like in Europe, there's a lot of things that are really old over there. But like over here, like America is only about 240 some years old, right? 1776 to whatever it is today, 2020. And it's 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, wrote this verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And here's what it said. Talked about some unusual names. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." The government shall be upon his shoulders. And then it goes through a list of names that he will be called. Is there anybody here, by the way, that you have a kind of, you would say that you have a different name, kind of a different name from most people? Raise your hand. What? Oh, yeah, Cricket. And what's your?
Allie.
Like Allie. Yeah, I get it. Like run your horse down the alley. Oh, no, it's a girl. Yeah. Allie. Hallie. See, and I don't have my hearing aids on, so I can't hear anyway. Who else? What?
Calista.
I like that, yeah.
There's a T in there.
Yeah, there's a T in there. Don't forget the T. Right? Yeah.
Duana,
yep. Duana. So here we are. Here we are. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. How many knows he's a wonderful God? I mean, like, that fits Jesus, doesn't it? He's wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. He's a mighty God. Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. That means he's like the Prince of Peace. He came to his own. Listen, it's interesting. It says that he came to his own, but his own received him not. He came to be. Now, the problem with friending Jesus is that we cannot allow ourselves to become so familiar with Jesus and take on a familiar spirit that we don't honor him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not, as they say, the man upstairs. Y'all come on with me. Don't be referring to my God as the man upstairs. His name is Jesus. He's wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. But he's not the man, he's not the big guy up in the sky. If you want to get under my skin, just jump that one out on me. I was like, not today, Wonderful. Let's honor him as God. So here's what's interesting. The wonderful counselor. Jesus always interacted with folks just in the right way. He affirmed the generosity. You remember Zacchaeus. Jesus came into Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Savior's face to see. You remember that song? And as the Lord came passing by, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. We're going to your house for a cup of coffee. I made that part up. But Jesus was, he interacted with people, because he valued them. Everybody say he valued them. He values us. He confronted the greed of the rich young ruler. You remember that? In other words, Jesus said something that the rich young ruler didn't like. The only time that we have a problem with somebody, the only time that we have a problem with somebody is when we disagree with them. You got any married people here? I hope so. I see a bunch of kids out there. The only time we have troubles in marriage is when we disagree. And when we disagree with God. I'm going to tell you that I was thinking about that driving driving to work this morning. Driving to church this morning, I was thinking about times when I disagree with God. And we, in the back of my mind, we don't dare say it out loud, but in our back of our mind, we say, if I was God. And then you think about that person that you disagreed with. But see, what happens when we friend God, we bring him down to our level, and we can get the attitude that God doesn't get it, just like our friends don't get it. Why? Because we disagreed. The rich young ruler, he didn't agree with him. He says, I've kept all the commandments. And then Jesus says, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. He says, I'm out of here. I ain't going there. Creed. Has God ever asked you to do something? And you're like, I don't think so. Y'all looking awful holy on me out there. It's okay. I'm just giving you a little counseling. Anybody need counseling today? Everybody raise your hand, please. Everybody needs counseling. In fact, that's what we're doing right now. We're counseling. We're giving a little counsel. And if you don't think you need counseling, we'll pray for you. But he asked the crippled man. You remember the crippled man Jesus came to? You remember the question that he asked the crippled man? Anybody remember what he asked him? He said, do you want to be well? I might want to just ask that question myself. Do you want to be well? I want to be well. I want to be right. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to accept counseling. Me and Darla, we go to counseling all the time. Because we bump heads every once in a while. It's like we love each other, but we don't always agree. That's right. So we go to get counseling. We go to get counseling because we know that we're not always right. And the scripture says, can two walk together unless they agree? And if we don't agree, either I'm right or I'm wrong, or she's right or she's wrong, or both of us are right, or both of us are wrong, and God's right. And it's not about me agreeing with her. It's not about you agreeing with me. It's about us agreeing with God. That's the challenge that we all have. And you got to forgive me when I mess up, and I got to forgive you when you mess up. Counselor, wonderful counselor, offered grace to the Samaritan woman. Anybody need a little grace this morning? When you took communion, you was like, God, give me a little grace. Purge me, cleanse me in my heart, my mind, my body, my soul. Clean me up, dear Lord Jesus. That's why we have communion. He restored Peter when he messed up. Thank God for the wisdom and the counsel of Almighty God to us. I will say this. Often our success in life depends on the quality of our counselors and advisors. The quality of your life will solely depend on who you listen to and who you don't listen to. Now, if you're looking for somebody that will tell you everything you want to hear, and we get that all the time in church. Or when we're doing counseling, people don't come to me for counseling much anymore because I just tell them, suck it up and get over it. So they go to all these other people to listen to them. We got a great staff here, and they don't need me. I just don't stop it. Your success or failure will depend on who you allow yourself to be counseled by. And he is the ultimate counselor. Why? Because he knows everything. He is all powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He knows everything, and he is all powerful. Why would we not go to him for counseling? Well, I don't need counseling. If you ever hear yourself say that, I don't need counseling, you really do. Don't you wish all them other people were here today? The only time people get offended is when you disagree with them, right? There's too much of that going on today. Someone said, as a wise man seeks much counsel, a fool listens to all of it. It's good to seek counsel. A wise man always seeks counsel, but my goodness, please don't listen to it all, because it ain't all good. Jesus' counsel is the best. He tells us what we need to hear. Jesus gave us counsel that it's better to love our enemies than to hate them. America needs that right now. If America ever needed, we needed to hear that it's better to love your enemies than to hate them. It's better to be lawful when you're protesting against lawlessness. He gave counsel that nothing is of greater value than anyone's soul. Be careful when you talk to people, because God values them just like he values you. Because people are God's greatest treasure. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're precious, precious, precious people. People are God's greatest treasure. We need to love them and honor life and value them and love them. He gave counsel that forgiveness is much better than to dwell in hatred. Forgiveness is better. Many Christians need this. I love what Psalm 16:7, it says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. So here, this is just a challenge to change our attitude. Because a lot of times we don't want, hey, I don't know if you've ever heard yourself say these words, nobody's going to tell me what to do. When we say nobody's going to, that includes God. Anybody need to hear that? Raise your hand. It'd be real good for you. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. 12 of you. Good. Jesus is our counselor, the one who knows us most fully. Why does he know us? He made us. Secondly, he's a mighty God. Mighty God. He was born in a manger in a poor, with a poor family. You remember back in Bethlehem, and it was like that he should be called Mighty God, this young boy. And then they said, isn't that Jesus, the one of Nazareth, that they're taught in the temple? But he was a mighty God and still is a mighty God. Omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent, almighty God. He knows everything about you. Thank God that he knows us down deep to our core. He's everywhere. Even where you go on Friday night, he's still there with you. You can't run from him. You can't. He's going to go with you through thick and thin. He'll be a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. I'm so glad that he said he wouldn't leave me, because I need counseling. I need the Prince of Peace in my life. I need Almighty God to get a hold of me. I don't know how you can sit still when I'm telling you something so good. He's God. With the big G. Not the little G. Almighty God. Through him, all things. Everybody say all things. All things were made, and without him wasn't anything that was made. And so we hear people all the time, they want to save the planet. I mean, just get off on this. Let me tell you something. If you didn't make the planet, you can't save the planet. The Bible says the heaven and earth will pass away. You can try to save this world, but this planet, but you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to save something that you don't have the power to save. Only the Creator can save the planet. And he said this planet, as you know it, will pass away, because there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. This won't be the way you like it, and it's going to pass away. You can spend a lot of time trying to save it if you want to, but that's a distraction from winning people and valuing people, because the planet is not what God wants you to save. He wants you to save your neighbor. Man, it's good to have you back. I'm getting excited here. Transforming the power of Jesus goes back to Bible days and beyond, when the fishermen, they became preachers of the gospel. Saul the persecutor became Saul the apostle, and the power of Jesus that changes us continues, and has continued throughout history. How do we know that God is God? You are the living example of God being God, because his church wouldn't have survived if it wouldn't have been for the life that he's flowed into the church day in and day out, decade, century in, century out. Everlasting Father. This is interesting. Here's what Philip said to Jesus. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Philip said that. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Isn't it funny how you can be friends with somebody, but you don't really know them? You know, like on Facebook, they limit it to 5,000 friends. Did you know that? Yeah, they say you can't have over 5,000. So we got like 5,000 friends, and then somebody gets mad at us or something, they drop out, and then so we put somebody else on. But I don't know how you know how can you know 5,000 people to start with anyway? It's kind of hard. But here's Philip. He's been hanging out with Jesus for a long time, and Jesus said, don't you know me by now? Isn't it something how you can be in the church for a long, long time? Not really ever know God. All you know is about him. It's not a personal relationship with God. It's just a knowledge of God. The devil has a knowledge of God, but God wants each and every one of us to have a personal relationship with God, to know him and the power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship of his suffering. To know God, the everlasting Father. So he said, even after I've been with you, he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Why did he say that? Well, the reason he said that is because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all three God. Three distinct individuals with one mind and one purpose. You remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? Jesus went down into the water, and then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and then the Heavenly Father spoke down. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You remember in creation, he said, let us make man in our own image, meaning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but one God. It's kind of like when some of y'all got kids, and our kids know who's the easy target in the family, the mama or the daddy. Y'all with me? So they'll go to the easy target first to get what they want, right? So they go, "Can I have this?" And then the easy target says, "No, we can't do that." And then they're, "Well, let me just go talk to Dad. Maybe he'll come around." But it's kind of like the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they all think alike. It's not like you can't. If one says no, they all say no. And if one says yes, they all say yes. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's going to be my story. I'm going to stick with it. So it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men." Unfortunately for some today, the word Father does not bring to mind a positive image. Some are absentee fathers. I want you to know that our Father in heaven is not an absentee father. He has time for you. He wants to talk to you so bad. Just call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. He wants to be a daddy. You have not because you ask not. Somebody famous said that. So we go to our Father and we say, "God, please help me in this area." He's an everlasting Father. By the way, kids, Father's Day's coming up on the 21st. Get your dad something. All the dads said, "There you go. There you go. That's good." He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is birth, the angels proclaim, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." He is the Prince of Peace. That doesn't mean that he has something to do with peace. It means that he is the ruler of peace. Yeah. It's just like the devil is the father of deception. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So his title is that he is the one that rules peace. In fact, he didn't say that he would give us peace. He said, in Peter, he said, "I will be your peace." Right. Yeah. I am your peace. Right. So if we don't have peace, if we don't know Jesus, put that little deal up on the screen for me. Know Jesus, no peace, but know Jesus and no peace. Anyway, you get it right there, right? You don't have Jesus, you don't have peace, because he's the Prince of Peace. But when we know Jesus, we will know what peace is like. But if you've never experienced peace, how will you ever know what it's like? "Well, I got peace." Well, maybe you don't, because you never experienced it. That's good. So we heed the counselor of the Prince of Peace. Jesus came that we might have peace, even when life is not peaceful. Did you know that you can still have peace in the middle of storms? A lot of things can be going on in your life. A lot of things can be going on in this world. A lot of things can be going on in this nation. But like the Apostle Paul said, he said, "None of these things move me." This stuff doesn't move me. I'm not going to get caught up on Facebook and just rah, 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 rah. No, I'm going to be at peace with God and at peace with man and keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is that God values people. I'm not going to dog people, because people are God's greatest treasure. I'm going to love people instead of dogging them, right? Peace, Prince of Peace. That's a good sermon. So like Friday night, I was like toward the morning. I don't generally remember my dreams. I'm not very good at it. I mean, like I know I had a good one, but I can't remember it. You know, and I was like, I wish I could remember. But this one must have been earlier in the morning because I remember it. And in that dream, there was like five or six people, and they were singing a song. And the song that they were singing was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Anybody remember that song? And while they were singing, Johnny, can you play that song for me? I'm so glad you got here. My goodness. Oh, you want me to sing it? I wasn't going to sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Y'all remember that? All our sins, griefs to bear. What a privilege. What a privilege to... Everything to God. In the middle of this dream, these six people were up there singing. And while they were singing, it says, there was like they were getting goosebumps on them. Yeah. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is in my dream. Yeah. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That's right. Yes, sir. Do thy friends despise, forsake you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's right. Yes. In his arms he'll take and shield you. Yes. Thou wilt find a solace there. Yes. Woo! Yes. So I changed my sermon. I was going to preach about something else, and then I just had to change my sermon. Friending Jesus. A friend that sticks even closer to the brother. Somebody said he'd never leave you. Right. Never forsake you. I'm thankful that he's my Savior, my Prince of Peace, my Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, oh God. It is a privilege to come into your presence today. It's a privilege to know you as our Lord and Savior and as our everlasting Father, that we have peace that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. I thank you, Jesus, for dwelling in us, that you said that you would never leave us, never forsake us, that we, your church, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us. Thank you, Lord, we can take everything to you in prayer. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. What that means is that we've all messed up. But he also said this because he loves us so much. He said if we would confess our sin, that he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his mercy. It's like you can't work your way to heaven. You have to appreciate and accept God's mercy. So this morning, if you've never done that, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him. Simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart, and I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. Anybody? "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus." We want to put a Bible in your hand. Yep, here's a boy right here. Yep. Leave your hand up, buddy, until we get a Bible in it. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me." Slip your hand up high. I don't want to miss anybody. Yep, there you go, buddy. There's your Bible. Yep. Good job. Anybody else? The Bible says it's a gift of God. I mean, there's so many catches to everything that people say, but with God, there's no catches. There's no deception. It's a gift of God. It's not by works, lest anybody should boast about it. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. Holy Spirit's asking you. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Okay, so if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to look up at me if you raised your hand. Would you look up here, buddy? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Come on, buddy. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Let me give him a hand. Yeah. What's your name?
Noah.
Noah. I love that. Hey, buddy. How are you? What's your name?
Jed.
What's your name?
Jed.
Jed, huh? So, look here. Come here. Let me talk to you for a second.
I used to be a baseball player.
You used to be a baseball player? Well, maybe you can go back to that one day. Okay, let me ask you guys something. Do you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart? Would you like to do that? Can I hold your Bible for you for a second? Here's what the Bible says. It says if we ask Jesus to come in the heart, that he'll come in, he'll stay with us for the rest of our lives. Wouldn't that be great? Can we do that? So here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you, okay? Can you repeat after me? Can you do that? Okay. Let's all say this prayer together. Just repeat and mean it from your heart. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I invite you into my heart.
Invite me into your heart.
I invite you into my life. Into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me read my Bible. To pray. Show it for church. And get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look here. Did y'all mean that in your heart? Did you mean that in your heart? Look here. Here's what I want you to do. There's a couple of people over there. They're really, really nice people. Can you go visit with them guys for just a second? Then you can go meet your parents in a second, okay? Thank you. I love you. Y'all stand with me, please. That's pretty sweet. I'm always amazed at the length that God has gone to let me know that he really cares for me. He wants to be my friend, my savior, my Lord. He just, it just blows me away. Yeah, man. My question to you this morning is that if people are God's greatest treasure, which we are. How many are here today because somebody talked to you about Jesus, or they invited you to your church, they took an interest in you to find Jesus? Raise your hand. Somebody loved you enough to share Christ with you. Yeah. So here's what I'm going to challenge everybody with. We all have friends. We all have family members. We all have neighbors. We have coworkers. I just want you to think about valuing these people that God's put into your life like God values you. And then when you go to work, or you go home with your family, or you're playing or whatever you're doing, playing baseball, that you value those people's eternal destination and their relationship with God. And so my challenge is, raise your hand, you just be honest and say, you know what, I need to value people better and really share Christ in a better way. I'm going to ask God to help me do this, but I need to do a better job of that. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's so sweet. Now, I know some of y'all are shy people. I get that, because I was a shy person. I was so shy that when I was in grade school, I'd have my brother buy my lunch ticket for me because I was too shy to stand in line. But just because you're shy, what God showed me was I needed to get over it. So, I mean, that's what he told me. But share Jesus with somebody. Let me pray for you. Let's raise both our hands and surrender to him. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We surrender our future. Lord, for our friends, our family members, our co-workers, oh God, I pray, Lord, that when we're at work or when we're at play, Lord, that it would stay in the front of our mind that we need to love those people and help them to find you as their personal Savior and to seal that deal with them, oh God, like you sealed it with us. We pray that you'd help us to value people the way you value people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We love y'all. God bless you. We got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, we'd love to have you. God bless you.